CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
Benjamin Disraeli said, "The secret of success is constancy to purpose." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who have a purpose. Our first playmaker runs a restaurant company that welcomes in the weekend every day, while our next playmaker translates organizational goals and connects those goals through furniture. With us today is the CEO of a company whose motto is, "In here, it's always Friday." While our next guest helps organizations move the needle on employee engagement, mitigates risk, and ensures clients receive the highest return on their furnishing investments. His great playmakers are Nick Shepard. Nick is CEO of TGI Fridays, and Beth Goff. Beth is founder of Workspace Vision, and we're going to begin today's show with Beth. In 2011, Beth blended her entrepreneurial spirit and passion for the workplace and founded Workspace Vision, a workplace strategies consulting group. This research-based approach helps Workspace Vision successfully translate organizational goals and connects those goals to the real estate model through the furniture where work happens. Beth and her team work closely with industry-leading real estate firms, architects, designers, and Fortune 500 executives on understanding workplace and workforce trends. She focuses on translating the customer's needs and accommodating the shifting nature of work. Well, Beth, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, in doing some research on you, I found that you had gone to school in Indiana. So how does a quasi-Hoosier become a success in Dallas, Texas?
Oh, I think there are several things. One, you know, when you go to school in the Midwest, and there's some great founding principles, great work ethic, and I think that's always driven me. That and basketball. I was born in Kentucky, so between my Kentucky roots and going to school in Indiana, you learn very quickly to be nimble, maneuver through the court just for some basketball.
Well, there couldn't be a better place to be in basketball than right there in the center of basketball.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you continued that?
No, I never really played, but we have such a passion for basketball in our house. Mm-hmm. And this past year with UAK, being right there at the end. So we are absolute basketball fanatics in our house. But, you know, you're around the sport, you love it. And, you know, there's so many skills that are learned through athletics and that you can take to the workplace. But I really think a strong work ethic and being grounded, you know, and every day wanting to show up and be better has always driven me to pick up, move, and let my entrepreneurial spirit flow.
Well, being from the Midwest myself, I do understand that. Now, you started Workspace Vision 2011. Mm-hmm. And for those that would like to check the website, it's workspacevision.com. And you took the name and made it like the website, and there's no capital letters, and they're all worked together. Why Workspace Vision, all one word?
You know, it was really tricky because when you look at the furniture industry, it is absolutely riddled with work, this, that, facilities. But it was very important for us to incorporate vision because it's not our vision as a company. It is our client's vision. And what is their vision? What is their brand? And it's all about their workplace. So we were really trying to not be repetitive with workplace. It is about their workspace, which is very many things to many companies, but it is about their vision. So we just kind of clumped it all together.
Well, let's talk about what you do, because okay. You have an interesting model or concept. And in reading an interview I believe you had with the Dallas Business Journal, you referred to yourself as a therapist.
Yes.
And a big part of that is because you ask a lot of questions.
That's right.
Talk us through, mm-hmm. Walk us through the process you take when you're dealing with a client.
Okay. When we initially engage with a client, we like to start at the C-level. And we like to understand from a business perspective, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, what is working well? What isn't? What are their goals for the organization? Because that eventually is what trickles down and what mid-management is driving the staff and street-level sales towards. So if we start at the top, understand what the initiatives are for all the groups below them, then we know how to set at a baseline the facility up. So when you sit around the table with the C-suite, where it's the CFO is watching the penny, CIOs, you know, how do we integrate technology? You know, there's board of directors. There's so many people, and so many different decisions being made at different levels. You put them all together, and you immediately become their therapist. And some of the questions are very uncomfortable, and it's looking in a mirror and getting honest with what is and isn't working, and where do they need to put the focus moving forward.
So you've taken furniture beyond just the tangible and
right.
made it a part of their culture.
That's correct.
And one of the companies you've been working with was, and this was in the interview in the Dallas Business Journal, was Craig Hall.
That's correct.
What have you done with him, and is that similar to what you do with other companies?
It is very similar. Once you get past the interview process and you're hired and engaged with the team, we sat down with the leading members of the organization, and it's a Q&A. If we don't understand what their objectives are, we will automatically fail. So they have to get honest very quickly. And a lot of times it's very thought-provoking, the elements that we're asking. And it's very new, because most people, when they think of furnishing, they think desk, chair, this is well below my pay grade. I do not want to pick out furniture. But what we're trying to do is elevate the interaction of the employees within the space to drive the business goals. So we look at it in a reverse setting. We know that once we get into the tangible, let's look at this piece, what are the finishes, that obviously it gets transferred to a different decision-making group. But with Craig's team specifically, Craig is involved in many businesses. Development, real estate, vineyards, hospitality elements. And they were really trying to create a cohesive brand. You know, who are we moving into the next set of years, and especially moving downtown and being part of really historical movement of the Arts District? They wanted to arrive and say, okay, who are we collectively as a group? So it became more about the vision for a space, the vision for the company, and how they can transfer knowledge of all the different business units within the real estate model for a better speed to market. And Craig's a visionary. And he wanted to break down all hierarchy. He wanted to make himself and the C-suite available to everyone in that company.
So a very open space.
Absolutely.
You know, and hearing what you just said and thinking about that, you almost seem like a furniture architect.
Well said. Thank you.
And the question I was going to ask you before I mentioned that, if you had to give an elevator speech, just a short sentence in what you do, what would you tell people? What does workspace vision do?
Actually, it's kind of your lead-in is really what I tell people. I mean, we like to move the needle on employee engagement, and we look at the workspace through the lens of organizational goals. And the real estate model translates into their furnishings, and that's our forte.
Well, you've taken yourself beyond other people that just sell furniture.
Absolutely.
Well, you've apparently been doing well because you've received a couple of awards. One was the Henry Crown Fellowship from Aspen Institute, and I had not heard about that. Tell us what that is.
You know, this organization is fantastic. The Aspen Institute is a global change agent. It is a nonpartisan organization that was really formed to help bring issues to light and change the fabric of the world through value-based leadership. There are many subsets to the Aspen Institute. The Henry Crown Fellowship really is their crown jewel. And so, yes, I was actually nominated and luckily became one of 20 that every year they pick 20 people in the world to come together, and you're comprised as a class. You're always a fellow, but you go through a 2-year intense value-based leadership life-changing experience, and you end up traveling the world, and you're engaged in global debates over technology and sustainability and economics, and it is fascinating. So but the whole purpose is really to come together, to share resources, connections, to drive change, not just write a check, but to roll up your sleeves and engage in world change.
So it's not just receiving an award, you actually were involved.
Absolutely. That is correct.
Well, in addition to that, you also received the National Association of Professional Women of the Year. So what did it take to receive that?
Know a whole lot about furniture. My entire career has been embodied around the furniture industry, and it has just been my tenure and knowledge. And
well, let's go back to that beginning then. Why the furniture business?
You know, it was funny. Although I'm not motivated by money when you're in college and you're looking at your careers, I remember sitting in the resource room with the idea that I wanted to be an interior designer or had something related to art history. I knew I wanted to be engaged with people, but through a creative sense. And then when I saw what starting interior designers made as a salary, I quickly decided, oh, maybe not, because I worked really hard to get here, and I do not want to start at that salary. So I started interning. So upon graduation, I would have experience, so I could already start negotiating up. And it was actually my first internship. We were in a smaller market, so the firm had a corporate interior design business, but it also had an arm that sold furniture. And I just appreciated the business conversations that you were having through that element, because you were dealing with brass tacks, business issues. And I gravitated to that towards the design aspect.
Well, you seem like a visual person, because I can walk into an office and I can say, that looks really good. I have no idea how you get there. And that's where your skill comes into place.
Correct.
Well, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about you and your company.
The best place is our website, www.workspacevision.com. And we have our blogs posted, case studies, and a lot of information about the services that we offer and our approach to business.
I'm looking at the website right now, workspacevision.com, and there's a lot of interesting things on there just to find out more about what Beth does. Beth, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Beth Goff is the founder of Workspace Vision. And one more time, you can get information about Beth and her company at workspacevision.com. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk about the most interesting and fun day of the week, which is Fridays, through a restaurant called TGI Fridays. We're going to speak with Nick Shepherd, the CEO of Fridays, when we come back right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to speak about food. Your mouth may water, but we're going to talk to the president and CEO of TGI Fridays. His name is Nick Shepherd. He has been CEO since February of 2009. And for those who don't know, Friday owns, operates, franchises, and licenses more than 900 restaurants in more than 61 countries. Now, TGI Fridays is the original casual dining bar and grill, with the very first Fridays opening up 50 years ago in New York City back in 1965. Fridays opened in Dallas in the spring of 1972, took Dallas by storm with a record-setting $2 million in revenues its first year, which continues today with the brand promise of In Here, It's Always Fridays. Now, as a seasoned international executive, Nick began his career in restaurant operations and has since held leadership positions in a variety of disciplines, bringing more than 28 years of global operations, development, franchising, marketing, and brand management experience to his role. And Nick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've come across the pond. You've been here a while, and you graduated from Sheffield City Polytechnic with a bachelor's degree in catering systems. What originally led you to the hospitality industry?
Well, it was the second choice. The first choice was photography, and we didn't have enough money to put together a portfolio, so we had to find something that was going to pay the bills. The family had been involved in restaurants and bars, and I guess I got pulled into it and ended up working in restaurants through till I was 18, and the obvious thing was go to school and study it and try and get myself a job.
So you mentioned photography. Do you do any photography to this day?
I do. I still do photography, and I don't hanker for, you know, maybe that would have been a better career path, but I just love the sort of visual piece that comes out of photography.
Well, you have been CEO of Fridays for about a little over 6 years. Talk about Fridays, where it's going, and what your role is with Fridays.
Well, your role as the CEO in any business is effectively, it's the same role. It's, you have to provide a role model for the passion and leadership that a business needs. And, you know, I think you also lay what I would call the sort of philosophical structure for how the business is going to move forward. And I think you have to come to a business with both a philosophical point of view and a practical point of view. And when those two things come together, you get a business rocking and rolling. And so for me, you know, the job at Fridays was to come into a brand which had outstanding DNA. As a real estate agent around here would call it, the business had great bones. And when somebody says that to you, you know you're going to have to spend some money on the place, and you know you're going to have to renovate it. Well, Fridays was at the point where it had great bones, it had great DNA, but it needed to reconnect with itself. It needed to generate new belief in itself. But it had great people. And so my job was to come in and help those folks rediscover what Fridays was really about and then go and deliver that to our guests.
I would think a big part of it is seeing a vision that no one else can see in terms of where the company can go and then delivering that to your people.
The good news is, you know, as a CEO, you don't have to be the one who has the vision. If you listen to your people, they'll give you the vision. And collectively, you come together as a senior team. And actually, not just the senior team.
But someone has to guide that vision.
Somebody has to guide it. But one of the things I learned a long time ago, in fact, it was a great lesson for me. I was running restaurants in Germany. And my German, to say the least, is not good. And so when you don't speak the language, you have to learn to listen and watch very carefully and ask appropriate questions. And what you find out is, in the depths of the organization, that's where the real ideas come from. And so you can't impose yourself if you don't speak the language. And so coming into Fridays had great people. But we'd kind of forgotten what we were about. And so my job was to do the listening and help other people listen. And as a consequence of that, one of the things we figured out was we didn't need a new vision. We had a vision. We'd just forgotten how to go about executing it.
Well, from what you just said, my guess is you probably spend time in a number of your restaurants getting to know your people.
Well, look, I don't think you can run any what I would call dissipated business where you've got lots of units where the business, you make money from every transaction. So you don't make money sitting in an office. You make money from what you do in a restaurant. And so you've got to spend your time out there. You've got to go and rub shoulders with your guests. You've got to go and rub shoulders with your team members. And, you know, one of the great things about Fridays, we can't win with our food and beverage. We can lose with it, but we can't win with it. We can't win with our ambience. We can lose with it. The only place we can win and the only place we can differentiate is the experience we give, and that's primarily given by our team members. And so it's critical that we know there's a connection between our team members and our guests. And we have to work hard to support our team members to be able to build that connection. And that's a little different from some of the other restaurant chains that we have.
And experience is the key word when you're talking about hospitality. People want to have that experience. They will keep coming back. You have, I mentioned your varied degree. How did you get to Fridays? You've worked with a number of large companies that people would know of, one of them being Blockbuster. But how did you end up at Fridays?
Well, a little circuitous. First of all, I've never really believed that you need this career plan, which lays out in tablets of stone where you're going to be, when you're going to get there, and what you're going to be earning. I think, you know, what you really do is you figure out, you've got to be an opportunist. And so you go and figure out where you can add value and where value can be delivered back to you. And so for me, coming out of college, I was lucky. I'd worked in the industry enough so that when I came out as a guy with a degree, at least I had enough practical experience to go and get a decent job. And Whitbread, who at the time were the leading sort of pub operator in the UK, were good enough to say, hey, look, we want to get into food, and you look like you know something about food. We've got some restaurants, come and work with us. And that actually, back in the mid-80s, led me into Fridays. Fridays were this iconic brand in the US, and one of the guys that I was working with said, you know, we should bring them to the UK.
Now, had Fridays gone outside the US at this point?
No, the
UK was the first venture.
Absolutely, the first international market. And even though I left Whitbread about 3 weeks before we opened the doors of the first Fridays up in Birmingham, I got into all of the theories and philosophies. One of the things that I think sets Fridays apart, Dan Scoggins, who really took over from Alan, the founder. Dan Scoggins really developed Fridays into what people would know it to be today, back in the late 60s, 70s, and he left in the 80s. And Dan set about developing these things called theories and philosophies. And these are the things we use inside our business to teach how you run a business. And so, for instance, we have a thing called the Four Walls Theory. Four Walls Theory talks about how you can't control what's outside of the four walls. Somebody digs the road up outside, there's nothing you can do about it. Somebody opens a competitive restaurant across the street, there's nothing you can do about that. But you can focus on what goes on inside your four walls and be the best you possibly can be. And so these theories and philosophies really were different. And so when Whitbread took the brand to the UK, we started learning these theories and philosophies. So when I came back many years later to Fridays and somebody kind of called me and said, I've got this concept called Fridays, would you be interested in running it globally? I was already tuned into the brand and I was tuned into the theories and philosophies. I'd used them all of my working career. So, I went from Whitbread to Grand Med, from Grand Med to a consultancy to Blockbuster, Blockbuster to the US. I came out of Blockbuster in 2007, arguably exactly at the right time, given what happened to Blockbuster. Started getting involved with restaurants again, and somebody just knocked on the door and said, we've got this outstanding brand, would you like to come and run it? And how can you say no to that?
And it's just a continuation of where you've been. Well, you mentioned that you're continuing the vision. We were speaking before the show started about the I believe one of the newest Fridays in Addison. Tell us where Fridays is going. Where is the brand going next?
Well, the first thing is the brand. Where's the business going and where's the brand going? And those two have to come together. But the brand specifically is moving in a direction where increasingly we focus on the social experience that somebody's looking for. And if you think about it, and this was best said, I think, by an advertising agency about six, seven years ago when they came to pitch. They didn't get the work instantly, but their insight was fantastic. And they said, you know, Fridays was really the great social experiment. And you go, well, think about what Alan Stillman did back in the 60s when he opened the first Fridays. It was all about, for him, meeting air hostesses. That's what he really wanted. He knew nothing about the bar and restaurant business. That's about being sociable. And so the future of the brand is all around creating social experiences and increasingly creating social experiences across the day. So not just being an evening and a nighttime place, but there's no reason why Fridays can't be a social place in the morning and the afternoon.
So how do you take that now into the digital world? How are you connecting socially with your clientele?
Well, you can't survive in business today unless you have a digital relationship. But you can't have a digital relationship which isn't connected to what you do. And so I go back to this notion of being sociable. And so, you know, we've made many inroads. So like everybody else, of course, we have a website, we have an app, we you know, work on social media all the time. But we did an interesting thing last year, right around this time, because we are the idiots who brought you endless apps. And what was endless apps? You could come in with Fridays, you could put down $10, you could choose an app, and we kept refilling your plate. And when we first said we were going to do this, and this was just at the time when the business was being sold from Carlson, who the family had owned the business for 40 years, to private equity, and there were eyebrows being raised about, you guys have lost your mind. And we don't do anything as a Hail Mary pass. Everything we do, you know, deep insights to the guest, lots of tests and kind of refine. And so we had a pretty good idea what was going to happen. But the critical thing was we needed to engage a younger guest. in this was very much aimed at a millennial. And I'm a little bit careful about how you use millennial, because everyone talks about millennials. And to me, not every millennial is the same. I've got two of them, and they're very different. So you just got to be a little bit careful. And so we launched this program, and the vast majority of the communication was through digital, social, and very much around blogging. It helped that we had David Letterman, three nights in a row, run a piece on this. In fact, he did a top 10 things you need to know about TGI Friday's endless apps. And the fourth one, which was a bit of a surprise to my wife, was, has anyone been fired yet? So she kind of gave me a look to see if there was something in the offing here, but we were okay. The point being, this was about re-engaging a guest in a different way and letting guests talk about what they wanted to talk about and tell their friends. Because we can go out with glossy TV ads, and the reality is millennials don't believe you. Because you're never going to say something bad about your company in a TV ad, unless you're really, really kind of dumb. You're not intentionally going to say anything badly. So when you put your brand, you lay it bare, and you allow your guests to talk about you and amplify the way they feel, you better be doing something right. And that's the way to really communicate differently in a digital world. Let the guest have the say.
How in the last maybe 30 seconds or so, I understand you're going to be launching a new promotion this week.
We are.
What can you talk about that in terms of what you'll be doing for Fridays?
Well, first of all, we also have Endless Apps coming back with some new news. But the most important thing, what we're doing now is we're doing a thing called Buy a Burger, Give a Burger. And that allows you to come in, have one of our great burgers, and there's a gift to you. We're going to give you a code, which you can put into your social networks, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or wherever. And the first person in your network who grabs it can go and have a free burger at Fridays. And incidentally, if they grab it and go and have a free burger, we're going to give them a code, and they can give it as well. And this really is then around using social media for people to be able to go and say to the network, hey, I had a great time at Fridays. If you want to go, you go. And so it's just, again, using guests to talk about your brand, to give something to a friend and bring them back in.
So it's called what one more time?
It's called Buy a Burger, Give a Burger, and then we allow you to jump that burger to somebody else.
And tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about Friday.
Several ways. First of all, you can go to our website, www.fridays.com. You can download our app onto your handheld device. Or you can do the really smart thing, which is go to your local Fridays and figure out what it's all about.
There you go. Well, Nick, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure.
Wonderful interview. Nick Shepherd is the CEO of TGI Fridays. Thank you to our guests for being here. Great show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.